Hello, this is Genoa.
This is Yusuf.
And this is
In-Flight Entertainment. Yes. And yes, we are in March. And yes, we are in Women's History Month. But we're going to do something just a little bit different this throwback. Because right. It's important.
So we decided that we needed to do the day after tomorrow because of the all of Texas, the entire state of Texas being frozen from the southernmost part to east, west, and all the way north. It was the day after tomorrow happening in real life. And there's one scene in the movie where they open up all of the borders to Mexico, and it's my favorite scene in the movie.
Yes, it's the best scene in the movie.
I remember when the movie came out, my dad texting me. He's like, oh my God, this movie where they open up the borders and get rid of all of the debt that Mexico owes us to let everyone through. He was like, it's brilliant. I'm like, yes. And with Ted Cruz running south of the border, it felt like life imitating art.
I think he probably watched Day After Tomorrow. He's like, oh, I know what we could do. And then he went to Costa Rica. Yes.
So if you're not familiar with The Day After Tomorrow, it came out May of 2004, and it is about a paleoclimatologist who must make a daring trek to New York from Washington, D.C. to reach his son who's trapped in the crosshairs of a sudden global ice storm.
That's IMDb, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I did it. Yeah, okay. I'll go with that description. I'll go with that. All right. Like Genoa said, this was actually May 28th. So this was Memorial Day weekend-esque, 2004. Now, what was happening, or what we were watching at home when we was going to the movies in 2004, let's see, 5-1. Number 5 was CSI Miami. Was that the one, what's his name, Caruso, the red hair? Yeah. Was that Miami? Yeah. With the glasses? Yeah. And that one. Okay. All right. So, and number 4, Desperate Housewives. American Idol held down 3-2 Wednesday and Tuesday nights. Everybody wanted to see who's the next big pop star. And number 1 was the regular CSI. Came full circle. And yes. I don't know if you remember the song. I'm trying to figure out what it was. But it's, oh, I remember the song. Oh, Maroon 5, This Love. This love is taking control of me. She said goodbye too many times before. Why do I remember this song? I don't know. Anyway, so.
Until you started singing it, I didn't remember it.
yeah. That's one of those songs. It's like, damn it, it's burned in my subconscious. Shit. But yeah, Maroon 5 were cool. I have an issue with them. So, yep. And
they're fun, like go to a nightclub and dance to some of their songs type band. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Wait a minute, did they do the Jagger song?
They did.
Oh God, I hated that song. Anyway, but I did like This Love though.
So where were you in 2004?
2004, I was saving up to move to LA that next year of 2005. That's what I was doing. I was in my apartment up in East Lake, north side of Chicago, saving up my monies. Because I said, you know what? Next year, I'm going to take the plunge. I'm going to go out to LA. I'm going to be somebody, damn it. So, yeah, pretty much 2004, I was just chilling, saving money. I would go into movies, but I wasn't going to bars because I was saving up my money to come out to LA.
Okay. I had just moved to the Upper East Side and was finally living by myself in New York. and I was living in a 6-floor walk-up.
Stop. So you said you moved to the east side?
To the upper east side, yeah.
Wait a minute. So is it safe to say, come on, generals, come with me. Is it safe to say that you moved on up to the east side? Did you have a, okay.
If you say that.
Yes. You're on the 6th floor. So did you have a deluxe apartment in the sky?
I mean, sure. I had a balcony.
Yes. You were living in Jefferson's. Yes, gentlemen. Yes, girl. Work it.
Except it was a walk up.
Oh, that's awesome. She did the Jefferson, y'all. Oh, Lord. But yeah, but a lot of people were not moving on up in this movie because everybody was frozen. Well, most of the people were frozen.
Right. So the beginning of the movie is all about the science of climate. And we meet Jack Hall, who is the paleoclimatologist, played by Dennis Quaid.
Yes.
And his crew are in the Antarctic or North Pole or somewhere, and they're taking, they're in the Antarctic, and they're taking ice things out to read the history of the ice. And that leads to him going to a climate convention to talk to them about what had happened like a million years ago. Mm-hmm. And from a scientific perspective, that part of the movie is like 90% accurate.
Okay.
Based on me going and doing going to the climate science website, and I will post a link to our Facebook page that outlines how the science in the movie for that part is not totally wrong, but the rest of the movie is completely bonkers.
I mean, yeah, we're talking about Roland Emmerich. Okay, people who don't know about Roland Emmerich, Roland Emmerich gave us Stargate, Independence Day, this movie, 2012. So it just kind of give you a little flavor of like what he do. So, yeah.
I mean, it isn't like a Sci-Fi Channel movie, but it's a slight step up from the Sci-Fi Channel movie.
Oh, yeah. I mean, special effects is just, yeah. It's definitely above and beyond Sci-Fi Channel. Yeah, it's all in the special effects.
Right.
Yeah, and so, you know, then we intercut with, you know, some people up in the space station, kind of the shuttle, kind of, you know, overseeing what's going on. They can actually see the formations on like down on Earth, and doing the movie, you cut to them in space, kind of looking down like, oh my God, you see that? Oh, that's every disaster movie. You got to have maybe like 3 or 4 locations, you know, right, covering stuff.
Let's list out the themes of disaster movies that you see here. It is the scientists telling the politicians, mm-hmm, that the end of the world is approaching, and the politicians going, no, you're crazy. You don't, you're overreacting. You have the people in space looking down and going, oh my God, the Earth is falling apart. You have the Statue of Liberty. That is all but just basically destroyed, but it's always the torch that survives, mm-hmm, to shine the light on a brighter future.
Yes, that's the hope, Genoa. That is the hope that perseveres throughout our tragedies as Earthlings.
Right. And then you always have the, whether it's the scientist or the rescue person going into danger to save their child.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to have the family. That's what every disaster, you got to have a family. You got to have the family dynamics. Either the mother and father separated or divorced, or just by location proximity, they just can't be close to each other. And it's either one of the other characters trying to get from point A to point B, which is either the son, daughter, or the whole family. So that's kind of like, yeah, the blueprint.
So, yes. Yeah. So this movie has all of those.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like Jennifer said, the playbook, the disaster movie playbook, it hits it beat by beat. Like I said, you can watch all of Roland Emmerich's, like, disaster trilogies. I call it disaster trilogies, like the Independence Day, 2012, this movie. Like, it just hits every beat because you gotta have these characters that, like, scatter throughout the globe. So you can gauge what's happening in London or, you know, Africa or, you know, wherever, you know, so the intercuts between these people. And it's always vital information that they have to pass along, you know, to America, you know, like this was happening in Tokyo. This was happening in Indonesia. You have to let the leaders know what's happening over here.
The parts of the globe that we see in disaster in this movie are, we first see in New Delhi where it's snowing and the news reporters are like, it's once in a lifetime event, once in a world, like once in a century, once in a millennia, it's snowing in New Delhi.
Right. And then in Tokyo, it was like basketball size hail. That was coming down.
And then in L.A., it was giant tornadoes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And in the U.K., I'm not sure where in the U.K., but the there was a, like, giant ice hurricane that came in and sucked cold air from the high parts of the altitude down and froze the gas in helicopter lines so fast that they crashed and people froze instantly.
Yeah.
And then you have the tsunami that takes out Manhattan, which leads to the ragtag group of high school kids running for the New York library to hide out until they can be rescued.
Exactly. And the main character's son, so I happened to be trapped in this library, played by Jake Gyllenhaal.
He looks like a baby in this movie. He's 24, but he still looks like he's maybe 10.
You know what? It's so funny because he looks, you know.
He looks like he's 16 in the movie.
Yeah, like that dude don't age because he looks like Donnie Darko, Jake Gyllenhaal. And Donnie Darko came out maybe like
three years before the movie.
Yeah, and he didn't age.
He didn't age. I feel like Jake Gyllenhaal, he didn't really age from Donnie Darko to, what was the movie where he played the creepy news reporter?
Oh, Nightcrawler. Yes.
Nightcrawler. So good. Nightcrawler is when he started to age some.
Right. Right. Yeah. And then when you seen him in the latest Spider-Man, you're like, okay, he's adult Gyllenhaal at this point now. So you don't look like kid Gyllenhaal anymore.
Yeah, so Nightcrawler came out in 2014, which was 10 years after The Day After Tomorrow. So it was like he didn't age at all, and then all of a sudden he was an adult. Creepy. Very creepy.
He was robbed of an Oscar that year. He was so good. So good in that movie. I mean, I would say people were saying, like, you know, if they did another Batman, Gyllenhaal is your Joker. Because so like creep. Anyway, so again, back.
Everyone go watch Nightcrawler. That's our Jake Gyllenhaal sidebar right there.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm definitely a fan of Jake. He's a great actor. He's not in enough movies. He should be in more movies, in my opinion.
He has like the crazy eyes, which is what a lot of his movies need, apparently.
Yeah. Oh, another lesser known film he was in that I thought he done a great job playing Southpaw. He was a boxer. Yeah. And he was like Steve Rogers ripped in that movie. So man, I was like, damn, like Jello, he can get ripped on you if he need to be.
Yeah, I mean, yes, he's hot.
Sure. and also, who was in this movie? What was her name? The Shameless, the hot Shameless girl. I forgot her name. What's her name?
Emmy Rossum?
Yes, Emmy Rossum. Her. She's in. She's known for Shameless popularity. I don't think she's on it anymore, but I mean, they need to just wrap that show up. That show's been on way too long.
I'm sure it will end soon. I actually think it was in its last season. And then just to transition from Black History Month to March, we did have two Black characters in this movie. We have a climatologist, a scientist, and then the nerdy Black dude. So, you know, we're trying to step up the Black characters.
Hey, let's not forget, I forgot his name, the homeless guy.
Homeless guy.
Okay, for people who don't know the homeless guy, he's been sprinkled around all these movies between Speed. You know, he was the one that was in the Jaw Chop Jaguar that Keanu Reeves had to commandeer to get on the bus. He was in Showgirls. I mean, he's everywhere. You know, he's a national treasure and we need to appreciate him more. so that's why I spill on.
Even if we can't remember his name.
Is it Glenn Plummer, I believe? I could be wrong, but I thought his last name was Plummer. So, as Jen was saying, yes, with the disaster films, you don't really see a lot of, you know, Black folks. And if there's a lot of Black folks, guess what? Most of them are going to be killed. But in this particular film, I think 2 out of 3 made it.
Yes, 2 out of 3 make it. Yeah, Glenn Plummer is the homeless guy.
Yeah, Glenn Plummer. You're
correct in his name. He plays Luther. He's like the New York homeless guy that's lived on the streets and knows how to deal with cold. And so he educates all the people that are for the first time having to deal with cold without all of the niceties that you would get when you have electricity. He could have helped a lot of people in Texas last week.
Insulate. Let's get a lot. Just throw them newspaper. Like, hey, insulate. You got to insulate.
I'm not sure if my Texas friends and family would have appreciated me sending them text messages. This and that, but you know.
Tell them to tear some newspaper and stick it in their shoes and stuff.
Right. Actually, for the future, if you have a tent, put a tent on top of your bed. So you're not on the cold ground. And then if you all get in the tent, your body heat keeps that tiny little area warm. So there's your way to keep warm in the house.
And that is your Genoa tidbit for the week. Yep. For your Throwback Thursday.
I'm ready for it to be a disaster here in LA.
Well, I mean, it'd be more of like the zombie outbreak out here, because I mean, you know, viruses are mutating out here. So I think it'd be more of us like, you know, plowing down hordes of undeads out here than freezing.
Well, I am not ready for that.
You got a chainsaw, right? Oh, you good.
I don't have a chainsaw. That's Matt.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, we got to get over to Jen and Matt for the chainsaw. Well, we got Heidi to front fend them off as she sleeps.
Yeah. She'd bark at them and they'd approach and then she'd fall down on the ground and be like, rub my belly.
It's not going to be that kind of rub, Heidi. Run, girl, run. Heidi just run away from us. We're like, we'll come back for you. Yeah, we need to do a disaster scenario scene. Like, we're all prepared when the fan people are gonna run like left and right. In fact, Heidi's gonna just run towards the hill.
We can do that.
It'd be like 5 minutes of just like constantly just, you know, like just solidifying the plan. I was like, okay, so we gotta go 4 clicks this way. That way we can get ammo, canned goods, you know, sanitizer stuff, the works. And then when we get there, then we're gonna slingshot our way over to here. And then once we get out there, everybody's just like,
I'm a trainer for that scenario. It will be very easy to film. Yes, absolutely.
That's hilarious. Well, we do need to get ourselves together if a situation like the day after tomorrow happened to us. Well, it'd be hurricanes, right? Because that's what happened in the movie. It's like tornadoes just swept.
Yeah, up. Here in LA would be tornadoes. And I think all the tornadoes never really hit the ghetto, which would be my neighborhood. But your neighborhood would be destroyed. Yeah. So you're welcome to come over here.
Cool. Yeah, I think the Capitol building would pretty much fall on top of our apartment.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, we're head your way. Yeah.
Our rating system is sit on the sofa, put on your shoes, or go outside and fight the virus.
Oh, yeah.
It's sit on the sofa.
Oh, totally.
I've seen this movie so many times. I think I watched it 3 times this week. So
wow.
I was prepping for today. Right. It's just, you know, it's good. There's 2 scenes in the movie that I can't watch. It's a scene where the guy falls through the roof of the mall.
All right.
And then when the wolves are after them, I fast forward through those scenes because I can't take it.
Mm.
But everything else is fantastic.
Wow. Yeah, no, totally. Yeah, like I said, it's Roland Emmerich. Like, if you're familiar with, I forgot to mention that he did the 1998 Godzilla with Matthew Broderick that no one really talked about too much. But yeah, it just kind of gave you an idea, like, hey, he makes popcorn, just roller coaster escapism. It's like, you can't hold his movie with a fine, you know, with a fine grain of salt. Far as logic is concerned, you just have to just sit back and enjoy the roller coaster ride, because that's what it gives you. It's like you either in for the ride or you're not. And
it is escapism TV.
Totally. Movies. Yes. Oh, okay. Somebody didn't know. Okay. So with this movie, so this is like kind of trivia. So the production team has some doubts about having a major disaster hit New York City, especially after 9/11. Whenever it played in the Big Apple, audiences whoop with delight when the city was hit by an enormous tidal wave. So, you know, New Yorkers have a sense of humor. They know what's up. Yeah. And so, you know, we know, like, they know what a movie is and what's reality. Like, of course. But it was iconic, though. And what I will say about Roland Emmerich movies, it's he know how to market his disaster movies. Like his teaser posters. Like, I remember the day after tomorrow, the teaser poster was just the Statue of Liberty, like just half in snow and frozen. And that was pretty much like the teaser poster. It just said day after tomorrow. I'm like, what the hell is this movie? You know, it's like just sparked your interest. It didn't really even show anything. And with Independence Day, okay, with Independence Day, I never forget this. I went with my cousins. We went to see Waiting to Exhale, and that came out in 95. And the teaser before Waiting to Exhale movie came on was the Independence Day teaser. Now, the Independence Day teaser was a shot of just the White House and a blue beam hitting the White House and blowing up the White House. And it just said ID4 next summer.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally remember that teaser.
We lost our shit when we see that trailer. We're like, what the hell is this? And so, yeah, he knows how to, like I say, he knows how to market his disaster movies. Let's just say that. So there you have it, guys. The day after tomorrow. So, yeah, guys, let's recycle. You know, let's not, you know, let's try to do what we can to not have the day after tomorrow happen to us. Please. We appreciate it.
I mean, listen to the fucking scientist.
Yes, there's something called science, guys, for people who's kind of like, I don't know about science. Like, trust me, like, it's to help us, not to hurt us, guys. So let's listen to them. Please. All right. So we'll be back on the flip side with some more woman's work of movies and writing and directing and all that good stuff, because we're here to celebrate y'all.
The ladies.
It's ladies' night in March. So until then, we wish everyone safe physical distancing and
keep wearing a mask.
Yes. Peace.